On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Come Monday, it'll be all right.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, sure.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Whatever. Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm named after the show. A lot of people think that I named the show after my name. No, it's the other way around. There was this show called the Ron Van Dam Show, and I had no name whatsoever. My parents forgot that part of it at birth. So there's nothing on my birth certificate. It says on my birth certificate, whatever. So then I find this show, and it says, oh, Ron Van Dam Show. That sounds like a really nice name. And I put it on my birth certificate, and now that's my name. So that's it was the other way around. Go. Our theme music is composed and performed by Jason Shaw. Give it up for Jason. And then announcer and comedian and comedy writer John Shanahan contributes more than just his sperm. And then there's Nicole Reed, who contributes more than her sperm. What? She's a British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program, and she also books many of the national interviews that we do on the program. And that's, you know, pretty much it. Oh, and then there's you. I forgot you. You're a major component in all of this. Without you, I couldn't have breakfast. So that'll be enough. Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you think eggs are good for you? I'm not sure either. I responded like you said something, right? I'm not sure either. I don't know if eggs are good for me or not. And that's the focus on today's question.
Ladies and gentlemen, please prepare yourselves. It is that time again for Ron's Fact of the Day.
The facts with eggs are kind of messed up. I've done a lot of interviews with the Egg Bureau of the United States. I think there is an Egg Bureau. I think there is. There's a National Egg Council, the National Eggs of America, and eggs across the world, and the big eggs, and the fine eggs, too, and caged eggs, and not-so-caged eggs, and roam-free, and cage-free. And Born Free, that was a movie about lions. There's a lot going on with the egg thing. Eggs are good for you. They're not good for you. They have cholesterol in them, but is the cholesterol good? Because there's good cholesterol and there's bad cholesterol. That's what's so confusing about all of this. There's good and bad to everything. There's good and bad people. Ooh. There's good and bad cholesterol. Come on, man. I'm confused by this. I don't know what good cholesterol is, bad cholesterol. I guess it depends on the way they act, you know. You've been a bad cholesterol today. No presents for you around Christmas and Hanukkah. You've been a bad cholesterol. I don't understand what it means. Anyway, there's cholesterol in eggs, but I don't know if it's good or bad. I have no idea. No one's really telling me. When you ask people, is there good or bad cholesterol in eggs? All of a sudden they shut up. Like, uh-oh, this guy's going a little too far with his questions. He may find us out. I don't know why that works like that. I know that omega-3s are good for you. I think omega-4s suck, right? We don't hear much about omega-4s. Well, what do they have in those eggs? Omega-17. What is that? I don't know. I think it was like a planet in the Star Trek movie. I don't know. Omega-1s. I never. Omega-2? Omega-3 is what's in, man. Omega-3. Don't eat the 2. 3's good for you. I don't know what's in eggs. I don't know. I'm told that eggs are good for you. They're good for your eyes. They're good for your body. But then again, it's cholesterol. Don't eat a lot of eggs. Come on, man. Give me a break. Same with the wine thing. And I'm not talking about ladies and men that just like totally, you know, I don't like this. I think it's like Trump wines. It's not that kind of wine. I think there is a Trump wine. He probably owns a vineyard or something. But as far as I'm concerned, his whining is more of a psychological situation. But I really am president. I really did win the election. He's a poo-poo head. I'm going to make up names for him like I'm in a schoolyard. That's what I'm going to do. Come on, stop whining. But I don't know if whining's the type that you drink, that type of wine. I don't know if it's good for you or not. They say it's good for you, and they say, no, it's not for good for you. Come on, man. No, Ron, the answer is everything in moderation. Oh, you're going to go there, huh? Okay, fine. Everything in moderation. You can screw around with your neighbor's wife, but don't do it all the time. That's in moderation. And who would want to do that? Anyway, so eggs, I don't get the egg thing. I've done shows about the cage-free thing. I don't quite understand that. I mean, it's nice to see the chickens roam around. I wouldn't want to be stuck in a cage and then have people just take my babies away from me when they come out of my ass. I wouldn't want that either. Am I being too graphic here? But I don't know. But here's the thing about the eggs that really bother me. It's that we eat them. They are one of the most disgusting things that we could possibly eat. When you think about it, as human beings with the ew factor in us, we actually eat the eggs that come out of chickens. We eat, let me underline this, we eat their eggs. It's disgusting. All that mucousy shit, we actually fry that up. And, and the yolk, you know what the yolk is? I don't want to tell you. We eat that thing. The most disgusting form of an egg is sunny side up. I mean, there ain't no sunshine when she's gone, honey. The sun is the yolk of the egg. That's the sun shining through. It's disgusting. The only way that you can eat an egg and it's not disgusting is if you whip it up, you know, whip it up to the point where the yolk and the egg white have blended. And now you can do an omelet or something like that. That makes it undistinguishable from the actual egg itself. And, you know, whatever. But just having the egg in its purest form when it comes right out of the eggshell, ew, an egg white. Could there be? Why don't you just sneeze on my plate? I mean, what the hell's the difference between sneezing on a plate and egg whites just sitting there? Now we whip up the egg whites. You know what happens when you whip up egg whites and put a little sugar in it? You get whipped cream. Well, Ron, this is getting crazy, isn't it? It is. Eggs are disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. And it does turn some people off. I know some people who refuse to eat eggs because it's just an absolutely disgusting concept. And they're right. But we eat a lot of disgusting things. We date a lot of disgusting people, don't we? We even once, and perhaps again, make disgusting people presidents of the country. Oh, how's that possible? I don't know. Talk about disgusting. There's a bad egg, so to speak. Oh, we even have a phrase for it. We turn human beings into the analogy with an egg. Where'd you meet Bob? Yeah, he's a good egg. Oh, we'll have to eat him. Don't touch him. He's a bad egg. I don't know if they use that phrase anymore, but it was big back in the prior generation. They judge people by their good or bad eggs. And by the way, when do eggs go bad? There's no expiration date on the egg. I have no idea. Is it fresh? It says fresh on the carton. It said fresh on the carton 17 years ago. They don't change the carton that says fresh eggs on it. It always says fresh eggs. But it's not. When did they come out of the chicken? It doesn't say. There's no chicken date. There's no expiration date. There's nothing on the egg. Nothing. Nothing. Well, there's a little red stamp that says Eggland's Best on the Eggland brand. They actually monogram the eggshell for you. But other than that, no, there's nothing on the egg whatsoever. We have no idea. We don't open up the carton of eggs in the supermarket and shake them to see if there's anything inside, maybe a prize or something. We don't do anything with the eggs. We do with the avocados. We squeeze those babies. Thank God we don't eat the avocado skin because that's been touched by a million people who just go squeezing it. Come on. I mean, if you've got some kind of a breast fetish, I guess you can go squeeze the avocados or the melons. Get off on that. Hey, you got to go down to the store. They got some nice melons there. You can squeeze them all day and nobody says anything. It's fantastic. Okay, whatever. Whatever your thing is. You go to the store and start squeezing melons and avocados, I guess. That's pretty much of a dull life, I suppose. We actually call women's breasts, we call them melons. Did you see the melons on her? She has melons? Yep. She have eggs? I think so. It's disgusting. The whole thing's disgusting. But egg whites, man, whoa, ugh, ew. I mean, there's nothing more disgusting than an egg white that has been untouched and unseethed. Ugh, eek. But we eat these things, and it's common. It's common. What do you have for breakfast? Most people, if they have any kind of soul, they'll eat the eggs of a chicken. That's what we have for breakfast. It's what, that man, we eat this chicken inside out, don't we? We'll eat its eggs. We'll eat the whole thing. Gladly so. Cows, we do the same thing, but we don't take their eggs. We take their milk. We squeeze the hell out of them till all the milk comes out and we put it in a container and we have a milkman come over and give you the milk. Yeah. We drain the cow dry and then we chop it up and we eat it in various cuts of meat and stews and steaks and tenderloins and yeah, we're carnivorous. There's no question about it. My doctor says don't be carnivorous. Stay away from red meat. Like it's some type of a nasty thing, and it kind of is. It's full of fat, and it ain't the good fat. Well, I hope you found it interesting to have this all broken down for you, because our eating habits are very strange. I went to a restaurant yesterday, heard some music, they had some live music yesterday afternoon, a little jazz. And my son plays jazz, his jazz group. It's very, very entertaining, very, very nice. And sitting there having a drink or two, a couple of Manhattans. Yep, a drink named after Manhattan. That's very nice, very tasty. And then I looked at the appetizer list, and just about everything was fried. It's a fried world. Everything in this world is fried. And we even fry pickles. Come on, man, are you serious? Yes. Yes, I am. You've taken the pickle and now you're frying it? Is there no end to your frying craziness? What's America's pastime? French fries. It's not even from this country. I mean, it is. I don't know why we call them French fries. They're French cut. Nice. I have a nice French cut on my fry. Yeah, the American, is French fry. It should be American fry, but it's not. It's French fry. And what do they eat in France? Not French fries. They eat eggs. Everybody eats eggs. Everybody eats eggs. I think I talked about this on a previous show. I love the calamari, which is a way of saying octopus. They're little squids, or I don't know what the hell those things are, but they're tasty and chewy. What the hell am I eating that stuff for? What the hell am I doing? What am I doing? I don't know. Anyway, the major thesis of this talk was the egg, and how we worship that egg. It's can't live without it. Can't look at everything's got to have an egg in it. We do 1,000 different things with eggs. Omelets. We do an egg benedict, which is merely a poached egg with some sauce on it. Hollandaise. What are you doing for the hollandaise? Putting it on eggs. Yeah, we do that. Then we take the egg and as if, you know, that's not enough, around Easter time, we actually play with the eggs. We make the eggs different colors. We hide the eggs. It's as if anybody should give a shit about that. It's like, why are kids looking for eggs? Hey, kids, I've hidden the eggs somewhere in the yard. And what are we supposed to do? We don't eat eggs. Okay, I guess that's a strange concept then. Yes, it is. Well, they put chocolate inside the eggs or something. I really don't know what they do. I think they just color them and then they walk away. I mean, I don't understand it. The bunnies must go, hey, what are they doing with my eggs? Look, they're making them different colors. What the hell's wrong with these people? What are they doing that for? We don't color our embryos, do we? Maybe we do. That's funny. These reveal parties. When a woman is pregnant and finds out for the first time, she finds out for the first time, so does the groom. Hopefully they're getting married or something, or they've married already. You know, they have a reveal party. That's when they reveal the sex of the child. I know some families where the child is like 18, 19, 20 years old, and they're still not too sure what to reveal. Is she a boy? Is she a girl? What is that? I don't know. Go to the reveal party. I can't. They don't know what to do. What do you do when you go to a reveal party and you don't not sure what your sex is? It's a problem. It's a problem. It really is. I don't know which bathroom to go into anymore. I mean, it says male, female, and then it's got these strange symbols on the door, and I'm really not too sure what that is. Yeah, I mean, it's getting a little confusing, which is fine. I don't have a big problem with that, to be honest with you. It's fine with me. People can be what they want to be. It doesn't affect me whatsoever. I'm just not sure which bathroom to go into. I think I'm sure, but I'm not too sure. Yeah, whatever. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to, have a guest join us. But first...
Ladies, are you trying to find love online and having no luck? Have you tried apps and websites like Tinder and Match and Plenty of Fish and you still can't find that special guy? Then it's time to try Larry, the first dating app that helps beautiful single women find me, Larry. I developed the Larry app when I realized that most dating apps are just filled with men who have basically a much better chance at meeting someone than I do. And I thought, that's just not right. Why shouldn't a beautiful, single, desirable, hot, sexually active, and largely indiscriminate woman, preferably blonde and between, say, 5'5" and 5'10", with maybe, I don't know, a set of B cups, maybe a C, definitely not D or double D, that's just too much to be honest. Why shouldn't they, she, you, have an easy way to find love and happiness with me? Larry. Using the Larry app is easy. Just take a picture, a recent one, not like one you've been hanging on to for a couple of years or one that you cropped your ex out of, upload it and press the I'm ready to meet Larry button. Many women who use the Larry app get a response in as little as 10 seconds. Because at Larry, I am ready for love. Right now. Like, right now. Got the phone in my hand, looking at it right now. Got my Larry app open, and I am so ready. The Larry app, the best way for hot single women, or any women, really, to meet me. Larry, guaranteed. So ready.
Terry Dale joins us now, President of the United States Tour Operators Association. And Terry, thanks for being with us today.
Great to be with you, Ron.
This is fun. This is a new, you know, I know a lot of people that have traveled the world via tours at various locations across the globe, whether it be Spain or Paris, whatever the case may be. It's the way to go. And I'm glad you're here to represent that because a lot of people don't take advantage of this. Tell us about the tour arrangements.
So, Ron, the benefits that you get by going through a USTOA tour operator member is that we can save you time and money. And those are two things that we all want. And we do that because we can buy in bulk and we purchase in advance, locking in prices. And during this inflationary period that we are in, it gives the consumer confidence knowing that they've got this experience locked in. And the other thing that's important to stress is we at USTOA have a program called the Million Dollar Travelers Assistance Program. And what that does is if a member should cease operations, that consumer can come to USTOA to get a refund on their deposit. So it's really giving the consumer confidence to travel, and that's what it's all about these days.
Okay. Now, give me the definition of a group tour as opposed to just going to a particular country, a particular city, and, you know, when you get to the hotel, they have the concierge and you book a tour or two. What's the difference?
The definition can really range from small, which could be 8 people, to a full motor coach of 48 people. So there's a lot of diversity in the product out there represented by our members. But it's important to know that all of the planning is done by us. So we take the stress and the worrying out of it. And I think if we look at a country like Turkey in partnership with Colette and what they have done in creating off-the-beaten-path experiences and getting elite access is quite extraordinary. Every Turkey itinerary includes Ephesus. But when you do it through a group tour with Colette, they will have an archaeologist who may very well have worked there 40 years,
yes,
providing you with their insight, yep, and their knowledge. So you get a lot more through this group tour, whether it's 8 people or 48.
Yeah. A lot of people who travel alone love this. I think this is what you're referring to. I know a person, they booked the tour. The tour representative meets them at the airport, gets them to the hotel. They get up the next morning and they spend the whole day on the tour. Is that how that works?
Yes. I mean, you literally are picked up, greeted at the airport,
yep,
brought to your hotel.
Yep.
So all of those details are arranged.
Perfect.
But I think it's important to stress as well, though, as much as that sounds somewhat very structured and rigid, the reality is today the itineraries have built in free time and flexibility.
Yeah.
So you have the ability to customize your experience. So if we take a look at Club Adventures and what they do in Malta, you know, Malta with over 7,000 years of history, they give you flex time.
Yep.
So if you go to the island of Gozo and you go to a family-owned vineyard, you can spend as much time as you want interacting with the family, learning about the history of the vineyard, and it's relaxed, and you have a chance to breathe and exhale, which is amazing. And by the way, I have to say, in Malta, you have to have the Maltese rabbit stew, which I've had 3 times in the last year, which is also amazing.
Okay. I don't see samples in front of me here, Dale, but whatever.
I'll get it up to you.
Terry, it's the way to go. Again, the people that I know that have done this through the various groups have been delighted. They go to actual people's homes for a dinner to get the culture involved if they choose to do so. I mean, it's things that if you booked it yourself, you would not see, you would not do. And it's not mandatory, again, as you say, but especially if you're single or you're a senior, this is the only way to go, because otherwise it's almost too much to do it on your own. Yeah.
Well, I have to share a sidebar story when you talk about that, because my dentist here in Manhattan and his wife, who is a lawyer, they're late 30s.
Yeah.
They actually use a tour because they don't want to make the mistake.
Yep.
And they don't have the time to plan it on their own.
Yep.
So we're finding that the ages, you don't have to be a baby boomer to benefit from a group tour. And I think, you know, it's important to stress our role with sustainability and responsibility when we tour.
Yeah.
And if we look at Intrepid Travel and their partnership with Zagreb, which is the capital city of Croatia, and one of the greenest cities, might I add, in the EU, it's all about eat, sleep, shop, local.
Yeah.
You know, we want to get our economic impact to those neighborhoods and those family businesses that can benefit most from it. And so that's really critical to this authentic experience that Intrepid Travel creates in Zagreb. And I think a good example of that is Shrukli, which is a pastry that's filled with fresh cheese. And it's known for at La Shruk, which is the restaurant. And it's one of those kind of local experiences that you just can't beat. And along with that is Kalteva, which is a street filled with artisans, and we bring that street to life through their storytelling as well as historians. So all of this travel responsibly is captured, whether it's Zagreb, the capital city of Croatia, with Intrepid Travels, or any of other USTOA members.
It's also a lot safer. I mean, let's face it, it's a lot safer, and that's better, too. I mean, so that you're not wandering places saying, where am I? I mean, this is cool, and you got stories to tell when it's all over that other people never experienced.
You do have a security net when you travel with a USTOA member. And I also like to remind folks that, you know, Mother Nature flexes her muscles so many times these days, which can interrupt travel. And when you're with one of our USTOA members, they're going to take care of you. They're going to get you back home safely and in a timely fashion. So it definitely is a safer experience, Ron.
That's the way to go. Terry Dale, where do we go for more information?
Come to us, www.ustoa.com/tour now.
Great. You're a great spokesperson. Great job. And thank you so much for the information today. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.